Welcome to the SDR Disco Call Vidcast and Podcast, a show designed for brand new sales reps working in the world of tech sales. I'm your host, Neil Buyan, and I'm going to be taking you on a journey on the SDR Disco Call Vidcast and Podcast. Did you know that you can watch this show live with the guests on YouTube? This show is available on YouTube at happyselling.io. Hello, listeners, watchers, subscribers, and fans of the SDR Disco Call show. If this is your first time or you're a returning visitor, this show is all about the world of sales development. And what we look to do is find interesting guests to come on our show to understand how did they get into the world of tech sales, how have they navigated their career, and what things have they picked up along the way to help excite you and help you navigate your own career within sales and technology. My name is Neil Buyan, and I'm your host, and my job is to find these interesting people. And this guest here is somebody that I actually coached last year and have seen them grow and super proud of them. And I said, you know what? You need to come on the show and let's find out who you are. So guest, can you introduce yourself? Who are you?
Thanks for that intro, Neil. My name is Maisie Conahan, and I was an SDR. I am now a commercial account manager.
Love it. Well, Maisie, thank you so much and welcome to the show. And Maisie, in terms of the business that you work for, who are they and what do they do at a high level?
So the company that I work for is Matillion. We operate in the data space. So our new solution is our SaaS platform, which is the data productivity platform. We're built for an entire data team of all technical abilities, moving, transforming, orchestrating data, just making that ready for business analytics, AI, ML, all of those good things.
Love that. Thank you so much. And just to give us some context, as you know, our guests are listening in, who would be the typical personas or job titles that would be buying something like Matillion?
So as I said, because it spans across different technical abilities, so it could be a data engineer, a data architect that's obviously kind of looking over the bigger piece of the data infrastructure, yeah. Or it could be a data analyst that kind of has no coding ability but kind of wants to jump in and be able to service their own data pipelines. So yeah, quite a big span of different personas, which is good. It was hard to learn at first, but good.
And we're definitely going to be diving into that learning journey and curve with this as well. And Maisie, for our audience, because it's always great to know because this is being watched around the globe, whereabouts in the world are you based? And outside of sales, what does Maisie Conahan like to get up to?
Yeah, so I was based in Manchester, recently moved to Rugby to live with my partner. What I like to do is I'm very active. Me and my boyfriend like to hike a lot. I am also very into yoga at the moment. That's become a big passion of mine. And along with that, interested in different herbal teas and how they can kind of bring health benefits to you. That's the new obsession.
Clean, green, and a mean machine. I love that, Maisie. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing. And also as a gentle reminder for our listeners, if you're listening to this in your local podcast platform, make sure that you give us a rating and share this episode with anyone that you feel could benefit from it. And also, if you're watching us live on YouTube, make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe down below. And what we also encourage is, based on this discussion, if anything picks your brain or you have any questions for our guests, please make sure you add them into the comments. And normally at this point, what we love to do is go to our guests' LinkedIn profile to check them out. And as a reminder that all of our guests' LinkedIn profiles will always be in the show notes. So if you want to connect with Maisie, pick her brain, or you know, just follow her movements out on LinkedIn, feel free to give her a look, follow, and connect. So Maisie, as mentioned, we've just known each other just, I think, about under a year or so, right?
Yeah.
And we'll go into that conversation a little bit later on. But you yourself, you know, you started as a market researcher at B2B International.
Yeah.
Being a sales manager at Volcard Group. You had a career backpacking around Southeast Asia. I do actually want to ask about that as well.
Yeah.
And you've been, for the last year and a half, you know, you've been at Matillion. Mm-hmm. So what I would always love to know is, in your own words, Maisie, could you please let us know, how did you get into sales? What was that journey like? And how did you end up where you are today?
Yeah, of course. So as you looked at, a lot of things to do with marketing kind of in my past. So I actually went to university, did a marketing degree in my undergrad, and I worked for a hospitality company for about 2 years, predominantly doing their marketing, moved a little bit more into the salesy side of it.
Yeah.
Obviously, COVID hit, like many people, kind of mixed up everything that you were doing.
Yeah.
So I got furloughed, and it was over a year that I was actually furloughed for.
Wow.
Because of it being obviously in the hospitality industry.
Yeah.
So I was like, what am I going to do? Like twiddling my thumbs, just like, I need to do something. So I actually decided to do a master's degree in digital business. Mm. As part of that, for my dissertation, I interviewed SMEs around technology adoption, specifically CRM systems. Matillion, who I work for now, was actually one of the companies I interviewed as part of my dissertation. So obviously got to have a good feel for the company. They got a good feel for me. And then after it, my now manager said to me, have you ever considered coming working in sales? And I was like, I don't know. I'd never really thought about it, but maybe. And then the more I thought about it, the more I was like, do you know what? I think this would be a good fit for me. Obviously interviewed, got the job. And then, 18 months later, well, a little bit of traveling, 18 months later, here I am.
Yeah. I love that. And there's so many different parts that I would love, as our audience, I'd love to pick apart to really understand the crux of it all.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody who originally went in to study, you know, marketing,
yes,
and then ending up in sales. So I've spoken to actually quite a few people in the last week or so where they've done some sort of education within marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've now either transitioned to sales. Funny enough, one of our former guests, Ben Smith from ReachDesk,
mm-hmm.
he was somebody who was a BDR leader. And then, you know, he's built a great team at ReachDesk. And as of this week, he's been promoted as marketing director. So he's gone the other way.
Nice. Yeah.
So I'm quite curious to know, is like, what was the attraction to marketing? And how did you kind of come up to decide that's what you wanted to study at that point in time?
Yeah, so I think if we want to go way back, I was just very indecisive as an 18-year-old, as we all are.
Hmm.
And I actually went to university to do a food science degree, which is
okay.
What I have a lot of, like, I'd still have an interest in, like, how food affects the body and things like that.
Hmm.
But I started the course and was like, do you know what? This isn't me for a career path, but there was a marketing module within that in my first year. And I was like, actually, I quite like this. Like, this is something that I feel like I could maybe get into.
Hmm.
I feel like I'm going to go off on loads of tangents.
No, go for it, please. That's what it's all about.
I actually did, you know, when you're in school and you do like a placement, like a work experience.
Yeah.
Well, I did mine at Heinz Beans. It was cool. And I got to create like 12 different types of flavors of beans and then go through the process of like testing them and like then potentially like how we would market them. So then when I was thinking back to me doing this marketing degree, and then when I did that, I was like, actually, I really enjoyed that process of like how this would fit for a certain consumer, how you would obviously bring it to market. So I was like, actually, I think marketing would be a good fit for me to go into. And then obviously worked in it for a few years in hospitality. So I feel like everything tends to be kind of food related.
Yeah.
Then ended up transitioning to sales, which I think has been a really good decision for me.
I love that. It's strange you should say this because I've recently had a friend who's kind of gone back to studying and he's gone into marketing, like he's done a course, mm-hmm. right? And it's more focused around events. And like his dream is one day to have his own events company to raise awareness for breast cancer awareness.
Oh, nice.
That's kind of what he wants to do it. And shouts out to Ash if you're listening. But as he's been going on the course, he's had to do a lot of things where he's standing up in front of people, creating campaigns, you know, learning the lingo. And for a guy who's my bestie that I've known since high school, like we're quite what we call, I don't know how you put it, but we're quite urban dudes, if that makes sense, because we've got a background in music. And he's a DJ friend as well. But he's just like, dude, like there's all this terminology and stuff that I've had to learn and with these marketing campaigns. And the funniest thing, Maisie, that he said to me was one day, because he always calls me for advice because he knows that I work in sales. And he said, oh, dude, like there's this thing called Google Docs. And it's really weird because everybody can actually start typing in at the same time. And I was laughing at the phone. I was like, bro, have you never heard of Google Docs? He's like, nah. And I was just like, he said, how can people like write and collaborate at the same time? And I was like, oh my God, Ash is kind of like
mind blown.
Yeah. And I just said, bro, what you just said to me is like, as if, you know, one of our mums has said, what's WhatsApp?
Yeah.
And he said, am I that old? And I was like, yeah, bro, like, come on, keep up with it. But the marketing side, but what the point I'm trying to get to here, sorry, is he was saying, like, he's coming to the end of this course and he just says, dude, I'd never work in marketing. And I was like, what's made you say that? And he just said, the personalities and the type of people within that role, it didn't mix with him, and he just didn't get on with it because he's more commercially minded.
Yeah.
But he said, he loved the creative campaigns. He now understands the business acumen that he needs if he's going to be like pursuing this sort of career. But it made me laugh. And he just said, he then's kind of alluding to the sales side. He says, what's like the other side of the dark side like?
The dark side, yeah.
Yeah. And I'd love to know, and obviously, you know, we're going to come into your whole sales career. But from your point of view, when you were studying that marketing module, and then, you know, you've over the years, you've now come into the more commercial side of it. What was your preconception of sales when you were doing marketing? What did it mean to you back then?
So I actually think I was quite shocked when I came into the. I mean, to be fair, Midcillion is great for it. Like internally, I have such good relationships with marketing. But obviously then like being immersed more in like the sales environment, obviously online sales, like everything like that, like that stereotypical marketing against sales kind yeah. of like, yeah, I was just like shocked at it. Because I think the company that I worked before, we were quite a small company. So like people would pick up marketing, do a bit of sales, like it was more kind of transactional on what you kind of where you wanted to sit. So then actually seeing how it can be the blame game can obviously kind of come in sometimes. Yeah. But yeah, I think especially that at Matillion, I know that we kind of work well together. We have like weekly syncs with marketing where we can have feedback. So it kind of like goes both ways, which I think is good. But you can definitely see how it could turn into the one against the other when obviously we're all working towards the same goal.
So Maisie, I'm really interested to also know off the back of that digital business, and you were studying that. What is digital business and why did you go into studying that?
Yeah, of course. So the digital business, so the degree that I did, it was around, so obviously you've got technology, which companies, it's now very important for companies to be adopting and to be successful. And you've got people that are minded towards that side, very technology headed. And then like we've spoken about, you've got the commercial acumen people that are more towards the whole business strategy. So the degree in itself was kind of bridging the gap between the two to set the company up for like best success. The reason I decided to go into that was the company that I was working for at the time, as I mentioned, family run, quite small. It's quite hard for them to be able to like adopt certain technologies because they didn't have that skill within the business. So then it led me to kind of look at like what can we adopt for the skill set that we have within the company. So I'd already started looking at that side of it. So when I saw this degree come up, I was like, great. This will kind of be able to expand my knowledge and help me and potentially the company that I was working for and future companies.
I love that. So that's interesting to know as well. And if I get it right, so your dissertation was to understand like technical systems such as a CRM, which then led you to find out about Matillion.
Yes.
Curious correct. To know, how did you source Matillion and how did you approach them to get that info and interview out of them?
Yes, of course. So there was a little bit of nepotism within Matillion. My sister's partner works for Matillion already. So I kind of was like, hey, the company that you work for, do you think they would be interested in doing my dissertation?
Yeah.
But then I also interviewed 5 other companies and some of them, which actually set me up very well for the SDR role, was just emailing, reaching out on LinkedIn. There was also the company that I worked for at the time, people that I knew. So like vendors that we worked with, there was a couple of vendors that I said, hey. Again, like leveraging internal relationships that I already had. So there was a few different avenues to how I got different companies to cooperate.
I love that. And that was kind of the point that I love the fact that you alluded to, like it kind of set you up for that SDR gig, because when you told me that you're doing a dissertation, then you have to go interview a company, and obviously it resulted in a job, and we'll dive into that as well. It sounded like you were SDRing, you know, so you emailed and then contacted them, you know, having a discovery discussion to understand their business and how stuff works. And you know what? It's I wouldn't say a trend, but it's something I've started noticing with a few of our guests. So we had a lovely lady called Charlotte Higgins, who was on the show a couple of weeks back, and she works for a company called Screenloop. And the play with Charlotte was she actually used to make music and make instrumental beats. And what she had done was she used to sell beats on Instagram. And she said that she set up a page, she'd be like creating music, and then she'd be doing DMs and like talking to artists and asking if they want to get the beats in. And then funnily enough, she wanted to get into tech, and she came across this podcast first.
Oh, nice.
And then started applying. But she said, what she said in the show was she kind of realized when she read the job description of an SDR, that was kind of what she was already doing for her own business. And I don't know why the thumb has come up, hello thumb. And yeah, it's cool. And I think sometimes we come into that realization of transferable skills. So that's the point I'm getting at, right? Stuff we may have done in our previous jobs to help us get into our future careers. And I think with a lot of SDRs, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, sometimes they're worried that going into this new role or industry, they're not going to be able to make it because they haven't had experience. And being a former hiring manager myself, sometimes if I saw somebody had no tech job experience or sales experience, I wouldn't be too worried. But what I'd be curious to know is, what did they do in those jobs that could kind of mirror what they would be doing in an SDR job? So if somebody had said to me, you know, I've worked in retail or I've worked in hospitality or food, my first thoughts was, what was your customer service like? What was it like dealing with complaints and angry customers? What was it like working with a team? And I'd love to hear more about that. And if I could hear those transferable skills, you know, I could potentially hire them as well. But I'm curious to know, now that you're in tech, what transferable skills do you think you've taken over from your studying, working in hospitality, and then coming into the world of tech sales?
Yeah, of course. So yeah, I think that whole hospitality point. So throughout my whole university career, I worked as a server in hospitality, which I think definitely sets you up for a lot of things in sales, just in life, to be honest. Working a 12-hour shift, having to deal with customers complaining, not very happy, having to continually upsell. So yeah, there's lots of kind of transferable skills in that side of it. And then transitioning, so the same company that I worked as a waitress, that's what I transitioned into the marketing sales position. And then I got to build a lot of like internal relationships. So we had like 20 different venues with different managers, different sets of staff. I had to obviously go and build relationships with different people that had different visions for all the same company. So I think being able to build internal relationships is a very important thing that I've kind of taken over into the SDR role. Obviously, we kind of touched on it in the terms of marketing, like that continuous feedback loop of if you're getting inbound leads, if we've got events, obviously, the more you feedback, the better we're going to be able to create it for the next one. So I think they're definitely transferable skills that I've taken into the role, and will just continue to use throughout my career wherever I go, I think.
I love that. I absolutely love that. And I'd love to, so talking about relationships and coming to segue back into this marketing or sales and marketing piece. So to kind of set the scene, sometimes I'm coaching SDRs and I'll ask them the question, so what are you up to at the minute? What do you want some help on? And sometimes with newer SDRs, you get this gritted teeth, marketing of coming up with some campaign. We're going to have to do events. I'm trying to do my prospecting and add into my sequences. And I just wish, you know, it's just such a waste of time now. I can't be bothered to go into it because we're doing the events, but these leads won't convert for a while. And, you know, I'm calling lists, and they're always asking us for time. And I sit there and be like, that helps you to build your future pipe and you should really be working with them. And they are the people that create all that great content and help with brand awareness. But I'm going to stop with my piece. And I'd just love to get your opinion on, you know, what is your opinion on SDRs working with marketing teams? And what things should SDRs be doing proactively with their marketers? What's your point of view on it, Maisie?
So yeah, I'm kind of glad that you've raised this because it was something that I was thinking about this morning around how easy it is coming in as an SDR to like just go for like that short-term gratification and just get those like quick wins continuously instead of thinking about, right, I'm going to be in this role for 12 months, 18 months. Like what I do today is going to affect myself in a few months to come and continually kind of building up that pipeline. So not thinking, like you said, about those events, oh, well, this might not come in for a few months or it's not going to feed me this month. And I think that relationship with marketing is all about that, isn't it? It's setting you up for the year, setting it up for how we're going to achieve our yearly quota and not just our month to month. It's like if you were, like, you don't live, I don't know, some people do, but I don't live like paycheck to paycheck. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Typically, you're trying to put a little bit away to kind of feed yourself or be able to go on that holiday that you want to go to, like, later down the line. So I think trying to think long-term as an SDR can be hard a little bit sometimes, especially when you feel that pressure towards the end of the month, if maybe you're not at target.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely trying to have that mindset, I think will help coming in as an SDR and then help to build those relationships. Because if you're allotting a certain amount of time every month to, okay, what am I going to do in the next 3 months to 6 months? Then those ideas start coming in of, okay, so let's feed this back to marketing about this idea. Like, it would be really great if we could collaborate on X, Y. And then we're all people at the end of the day. And it works both for prospects and internal people.
So yeah, I think that's important that SDR should be thinking about the long term, right, when working with marketing. And they shouldn't really see it as, you know, an interference of their day. And the reason I say this is, obviously, when I started my SDR career and I was asked, where do you want to go in the future? I said, I want to be a CEO of my own company.
Yeah.
So from my point of view, I was like, I need to know how marketing works, because one day I'm going to have to do that myself or hire somebody. So I don't just want to hire somebody and say, yeah, you're the marketeer. I want to say, I would love to do marketing, to write content, campaigns, build brand awareness. I had to figure out all that sort of stuff. And what I also understood was that marketing were the ones that came up with great pieces of content, like case studies, webinars, you know, things that would attract people to learn about a particular subject, etc. And do you know what? Back in my days, I used to love it when marketing would create a webinar for EMEA. And I remember one day our head of marketing, Liz, said, Neil, would you like to run the webinar? I was like, yeah, dude, I'd love to be in front of a camera, you know, and, you know, it's kind of come into fruition with this podcast. But the other thing was, as an SDR, what I used to love was if MQLs came through, the inbound lead would come in. Obviously, I'd scrub up the lead in my CRM, Salesforce back then, make sure they had the right job title and everything, so that when I called them, I was ready to go and I knew who it was. But what I used to do is, once I had converted that inbound lead, Maisie, I would then go look for five of the inbound lead's competitors for outbound. So I was a hybrid SDR, because what I kind of understood was, if I learned what that company's challenges were, it was more than likely that their competitors would also have the same problem.
Yes.
And another train of thought that I had as an SDR was, anytime an inbound lead came in, the first thing I would do is look at our case studies and ask myself the question of, which customers do they look like today? Because once I'd finished that inbound lead, I would then send a follow-up email with the case study as the social proof to that person. And even today, like when I do discovery notes for, you know, my own business, Happy Selling, anytime a lead comes in, I'm like, who do they look like from a previous project that I've trained? Because that's what people are going to relate to. And it kind of comes to this piece of content, which is, yeah, everybody's got a product and it does A, B, and C. Cool. There are probably hundreds of other products that do the same thing with your competitors. But it's the content and the story as to why people came to that company. That's what they're more interested in. Great, you can tick a couple of boxes of, can it do this and that and the other, but why did people come? So, you know, a lot of SDRs come in and say, oh, what's the first thing that I should be doing in my first couple of months? I'm like, go sit with marketing and find out, well, who are the flagship customers and what are the stories?
Yeah.
And also get access to the marketing calendar to see when campaigns are coming. Because if you want to be a mini CEO of your own territory, you are a marketeer. You are, you know, trying to spread the brand awareness in your territory of who your company is and why you exist. And it's through marketing and their content that's going to help you out there. And I've seen a lot of SDRs when I catch up on meetings, Maisie, and they're like, so how are things going for Target? Well, you know, I've got a couple of meetings in, but it's an inbound.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, great. So what's the problem with that? And I'm like, yeah, but it's an inbound. Because I think they have this disheartened thought of, they didn't do the hunt or the work for it. But trust me, as a business owner, if I get an inbound lead, I'm like, yay, you know, my brand's getting out there. Somebody's recognized and come to me to ask for help and stuff and whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd highly recommend. And to your point, you know, we're both working to the same goals. And I think sometimes, and I don't know why it is, but where SDRs may see marketing as the other side, it may stem from leadership and from the top as to how, or, you know, their peers and colleagues talking about it. I've met a bunch of cool CMOs and heads of marketing that people are really inspirational.
Yeah.
And one for our audience, if you ever want to Google, the greatest sales deck ever was created by the company I work for called Zora. And that was created by a guy called Morgan Norman, who was my SDR leader eventually, but he was initially our VP of marketing and then became our CMO. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have the great sales deck that every sales rep wants to rip and every founder wants to have.
Yeah.
I've got the original copy on my laptop. But anyway, I'm digressing. But we've spoken about marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to get back into Matillion because obviously, from your point of view, it was a very, it is a very technical world. What was it like coming into a company in a technical, you know, kind of environment and you learning that sort of lingo and getting an understanding? What was that like, Maisie?
Yeah, so obviously, coming in, I think at first my mind was just like, I don't know if I can fit any more information inside. But obviously, over time, like, you just slowly learn more things, don't you? Like, I think, especially me, I think sometimes you don't give yourself enough credit for, like, how much you actually do absorb, like, even if it doesn't feel like you are. I think, obviously, doing my digital business masters as well definitely set me up for success. So obviously, I appreciate a lot of people don't go into it after already maybe doing a degree with like a high level overview of maybe what's going on in that particular sector. But yeah, I remember just like going through like so many slides, like just watching so many videos, just trying to like cram so much information in. But then I found like speaking to my colleagues was just like such a big way to kind of learn and absorb. Because obviously you have like this technical jargon and you have the way that it's presented in your training material, like online, things like that. But actually just speaking to someone who's been in your seat before, so like the AEs that have transitioned from the SDR role, they can kind of obviously empathize with what situation that you're in and give you those tips and tricks of like how to better structure your days, organize things, and be able to still succeed in the SDR role and continue to kind of learn that technical jargon and content at the same time.
I love that. And it kind of reminds me, again, back in my days when SDRing and coming into a tech company, because there were so many acronyms, there was so much terminology. I was like, what the hell does that mean, bro?
And internal acronyms of just like random, like it's not even just like industry. It's like, Matillion will say this in this way. And it's like, what does that mean?
Exactly. But I think the key thing for, you know, the SDRs is if you hear a word that you do not understand, write it down in your book. And then if you're having your one-to-one with your manager or your account executive, ask them what that word means.
No stupid questions.
Yeah, exactly. There is no stupid questions. I used to say there's no stupid questions, but it's stupid if you don't ask, right?
Yeah.
And you've got to be curious and ask that as well. But trying to understand the worlds of, like, what the hell was an API? And I remember our head of sales enablement said, imagine if you've got, like, a bridge, right? Mm-hmm. You've got one software program and you've got another software program. If you try to connect them, they speak different languages. But the API is basically the translator so that both of those programs can speak. I was like, I get it. Cool. So when, you know, I was on a call with the CTO, he's like, so what is the APIs? Are they SOAP-based or REST-based APIs? And I was like, well, I know what the API is, but then I had to go and ask my sales engineer, what's the difference between SOAP-based and REST-based APIs? And then I learn. And then next time the CTO, I said, it's REST-based APIs, or it could be open APIs, depending on your integration needs. But the point that I used to make with my prospects, I used to say, I am not the technical person, but my understanding is X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
So I'd highly recommend in our next call, please bring your technical team and we'll be happy to bring our technical resources, you know? So I'd say SDRs, don't fear it when things get technical, but ask those questions and take an interest in it in order to learn, right? And just another example, a few weeks back, I was invited to Holborn by one of my friends who works in a new startup and it's around coding. And he said, Neil, you know, we've got our first like developer meetup and, you know, me and the co-founder and a whole bunch of other developers are coming in. Do you mind just coming down? And I was like, is there going to be food? And he was like, yeah, there'll be food.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. But as I was going on the tube and I was heading up to London, I was thinking, I was like, but developers are not my crowd. And obviously that is a completely different world. I've sold to developers in cybersecurity, but they are different to sales. So I remember coming into the room and everybody's having a bit of networking and I'm just like, I feel so out of place here, Sean. Like, what the hell am I doing here? But it was the subject matter was open telemetry. So I was just like, I don't know, I ain't heard of that. And I said, what the hell is that? So I Googled it. And then what I did was the talk began and I went into ChatGPT on my phone and I said, explain what open telemetry is to a 10-year-old. And it kind of said, imagine if you have a spyglass looking at computer software and you can kind of see the insides of the software to see if everything's working. It's like, ah, I get it. So as the presentation was going on, I sat there thinking, okay, some of this makes sense. And I understand because I've worked with databases in the past as well, like Cubase and Kubernetes and stuff like that. I kind of got it. So I was filling in little blanks. But I think the cool, and this is going to sound really weird and geeky, but I think the one thing that really got the crowd excited was this presenter was actually showing some coding or code up on the screen. And they were talking about the ways they handled or, you know, managed this code. But everybody got up. And what it reminded me of, Maisie, was imagine if an SDR was doing a talk about a sequence.
Yes.
And in the sequences, you saw the clicks, open, reply rates, and you saw the percentages and everything like that. That's how everybody got engaged. And I sat there and I was just like, this kind of feels like a sales chat, but this is their world of it. But the point that I'm getting to the end of is make the effort to go into things which you may not be aware of just to try and understand and learn that world. And I think as an SDR, not only should be you should be chatting to marketing, but go speak to your technical team and your engineering team and the DevOps team to understand, well, how do they make that software product? Because I think what's really cool to differentiate yourself as an SDR is imagine you are on a call with a technical person and you could spit some sort of information of what you saw your DevOps engineering team doing, how they do their sprints, how they do their product runs, you know, how they do their coding and, you know, how it's designed, et cetera, because that's when you get passionate about your product and you're not just trying to sell a commercial sort of thing. But anyway, we're digressing a little bit. The other piece I'd love to know is, so you've gone from SDR to CAM or key account management, right? What was that journey like for you, Maisie, going from SDR and, you know, not going into AE role, as some people do, but going into a CAM role?
Yes, yeah, of course. I think I'm just going to touch on one thing that you said just then, and then I'll head into it.
Yeah, please.
Just on that whole piece of like speaking to further teams. So like something within Matillion, we have like it's called drinking your own champagne. So we have like obviously case studies of how we're using our own product internally, whether that's within the data science team, the data engineering team, and they've actually done videos for us internally to better understand kind of how what we're selling affects our company specifically. So I think like that is a really good point what you raised. And if your company isn't doing that, definitely like you should be reaching out to those like wider teams to try and understand that side of it. Cause it does just help you understand it more. Like when you actually see, oh, so I've got this piece of data here, like that has come from this person, that company, that you know, like all the things that have led up to that. So yeah, I think that point that you made it was really interesting, and I just kind of wanted to reiterate that.
100%, because you know it takes a whole company to build that product that you're trying to sell. And I can remember many sales kickoffs that I've been on where everybody's having beers like around a table, some offsite and something like that. And sometimes you'd see the developers all hooded together over there. And then you see the SDRs and sales teams all over there. And I used to stand in the middle and think, and I'll just walk over to the developers about, hi, my name's Neil, part of the SDR team. And, you know, the more you got friendly with them, they are people.
Right? Yeah.
They're just normal people. It's just they have a different section within the company that they work on. And what you would find is, I don't know, this was me, like the developers would kind of say, like, what do SDRs actually do? Because I just see them on the phones and chatting, and you'd explain to them, you know, what outbound is and how they do it. And then you'd talk about the tools that they'd be using, like, you know, SalesLoft or Outreach or, you know, Power Dialers and all of this. And they'd be like, oh, that's actually quite cool.
Yeah.
And I think it's good practice to kind of share what you do with each other. And, you know, having those chats with people, you'd also find out things about them, that they love music and, you know, they like that certain type of film and stuff like that. And, you know, the point that I'm trying to make here is when you go into your SDR gig, there are some people that you may need to call on during your career to understand something or to get help in a sales cycle. And if you build those connections early on in your career, it can really help you out, not only to understand what you guys build and how it's built, but the relationships internally with those sort of people. Like 2 weeks ago, I caught up with one of our developers from a HR company that I used to work with, who now lives in Spain. He follows my Instas. He's always rooting for me and like giving me claps and sharing my content. And I'm like, nice. I just reached out to him, just say, dude, thank you so much. How are you? And we're just catching up. And he's talking about that. He's actually building some blockchain technology with one of the old developers from that company. And they're actually about to launch a startup. And he just said, you know, if I need some help with sales, I know who to call. And I'm like, Cool, yeah. Bro. Thank you very much for that. Okay. But anyway, we are digressing. Key account management, SDR yes. to key to account. What's the story?
Yeah, so I think obviously when looking at the different paths of where you can go as an SDR, because the typical one, it obviously is into that new business A role. Mm. But then there's more than that. Obviously, you can move into, like I've moved into the AM function. Some companies have more of a specific like customer success. Mm. If you really wanted to, you could like build up your technical knowledge and move into a sales engineer is kind of role. Like mm. if your company is happy to like facilitate your learning and growth, like there's kind of no limit of where you can go. It's an entry level to a company, and then you've got so many different routes that you can kind of go in. Mm. So I think I was kind of looking kind of what fits best for me, where would I like to go, and probably bringing it back to the marketing side of my brain mm. and kind of building those customer relationships, customer advocacy, so leveraging the customer relationships that we have to be able to then bring on new business. Obviously, yeah. I wouldn't be directly involved with that new business side, but being able to tell a customer's story of what they're doing, build on new use cases, supporting through new product launches, things like that. So I think I really just like the idea of building those long-term relationships with customers and really understanding more of how the product is bringing value and the gaps for where we can bring in more value even more. So yeah, I think that's definitely why I decided to transition into the AM function.
I love that. Thank you so much. And obviously what I wanted to touch on was coaching. So mm-hmm. we've, you know, had the beautiful opportunity to have like a coaching relationship. And I met you last year where you was this SDR, you had these targets and you had this career plan that you wanted to get into.
Yes.
What advice would you give? And again, I'm not trying to give a plug here, but if anybody wants a coach, let me know. But the question is, how did you approach coaching? What was the benefit of coaching for you? And what would you say to other people that are thinking about coaching, Maisie?
Yeah, so I think it just really ties into well what we've been speaking about already. So not only should you be building those internal relationships of like leveraging the skill sets with people that are already within your company, but you should really try and focus on those external relationships as well, because obviously you've got a non-biased opinion view of whether it's like you. I've got that sales advice and it's just someone to kind of, I think when we first started working together, you said like sometimes it's kind of like a sales therapist alongside. so you can kind of work through your problems and the issues that you have in that non-biased environment. So yeah, really leveraging external relationships as well. There's another woman that I speak to that I got referred to by my old SDR manager as like another like mentorship kind of route as well. So I think really just creating that environment where you've got so many different inputs, because the value that you bring to me is going to be completely different to the value that someone else brings.
Yeah.
And kind of leaning on different people for different things, like you would lean on different departments within your company for different things, understanding where their skill set lies and how you can kind of leverage that. And that's something that you can start doing before you're even in an SDR seat. So creating that SDR like environment on LinkedIn, like yeah. just reaching out to whether it's myself, anyone that's already been through that process and starting creating those relationships from early on, or people that have only just got into the SDR role. I think that would be a really good one because they're still learning just like you're hoping to learn. So
I think
definitely leveraging the coaching side of you, and then just whoever you can, just grab everyone.
I love that. And I think, you know, like somebody recently posted on LinkedIn where they saw the value of coaching. So he's an SDR manager and I'm coaching quite a few of his team. Mm-hmm. But he was also talking about that he's now going into coaching and that he gets coaching himself. And he posed a question like, does anybody else get coaching? And he tagged me in it. And I said, yeah, I've actually got quite a few multiple coaches. You don't just have to have the one person, but it's in different facets of my life. So yeah. From a sales perspective, at my sales coach, I learn a lot from Kevin Beals, Mark Akers, and Nia as well, mm-hmm. right? But if yeah, I look at my
they're
fitness...
They're all great, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're people to follow on LinkedIn as well if people aren't doing already on this podcast.
100%. We've had them on the show as well. That, you know, I love working with them, or how I like to put it, I like working alongside them, right? But the point was, that's from a sales perspective. I get coached by SDRs that come into my coaching sessions. And what I mean by that is I don't consider myself an expert. I don't like using that term. Mm-hmm. I love to consider myself a student of the craft. and I'm meeting other students and they're teaching me things. So they're teaching me about sequences, openers, target attainment, they're going through a PIP, what's that? I learn a lot. But in a personal perspective, like I have a best mate who is a PT and runs a fitness class, and he helps me with, you know, my nutritional health, but also my mental health and how to be resilient. I have a therapist that helps me with my mental health and makes sense of this crazy brain that I have that's overactive and thinking too much, and maybe perhaps I am on the spectrum to an extent.
Yeah.
And it helped me understand myself as well. But, you know, in other things, like my accountant is my financial coach. She helps, Candice helps me understand, right, should I be adding VAT to this invoice? How do I make sure that I'm in the IR35 regulations and I'm not out of sync with my financials? And, you know, ultimately with coaching, the thing that I've learned, it's always good to speak to people that are maybe 6 months to a couple of years ahead of you, and they've walked that path, and you're able to understand their journey and story. And again, this is why we do this show, to help people understand. So in essence, Maisie, you are coaching people unknowingly that are listening to this. But you harped on a point which I think is really good, which I haven't even thought about, is, you know, people that are just starting out, kind of like a buddy system, right?
Yeah.
And I've got a real life example of this where end of 2022, everybody's worried about an upcoming recession. And I lost clients and had no work, and I gained a recession buddy. Now, my recession buddy is a guy called Aaron Davis of Uniper Recruitment. And we're two founders where we just found each other on LinkedIn. We got onto a Zoom and we're both shitting our pants that we don't have any work. We have to wind our businesses down and go look for a job.
Yeah.
The beautiful news was his business bounced back. I joined my sales coach and we're in a better position. But what we did was we created a yearly goals template of things that we want to do. And we kept each other accountable.
And motivated.
And, yeah. And every month we catch up once a month to look at our spreadsheet and say, okay, dude, what did you get done this month? What didn't happen? And then he asks me. But then what we find is he teaches me something. So he has his own podcast and he's showing me his tech and his AI that he's using. I'm like, oh, wow, bro, that's so freaking cool. And I said, have you checked this? And this is how I do that.
Yeah.
And then other things open up. So I think, you know, you don't have to just search for the person that's way ahead of you. Mm-hmm. You can actually buddy up with people that are doing the same thing as you at the same point. And I think that's a valid point, Maisie. So thank you very much for putting that on. That's blown my mind. Okay. But anyway.
You're welcome.
But you know what? It's been absolutely amazing having you on the show. It's been great working with you as well. And I'm so proud to see how far you've come.
Thank you.
Since our coaching sessions. But if we're talking back to that Maisie who, you know, was, you know, sitting there looking at that marketing module and thinking like, ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And she's just about to start the same journey as you. What three bits of advice would you give to that younger Maisie?
Yeah, so I think I actually wrote down ideas before this and we've accidentally covered a lot of it. So it was like teeing up.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing I wrote down was continue to be adaptable throughout your search and your sales career. So I think there's always the idea of best practice, but I think you should never say best practice because it kind of implies that it's perfect and it's finished.
Mm.
I think you should constantly like evolve like what you're doing and how to get to that next stage, because macro environments, everything just changes on a regular basis. So you need to be able to keep up with things, and one thing that works one month is not going to work the next. So just continue to grow. Which then goes into the next thing of how are you going to grow? Focus on those relationships that you're building, like we've spoken about. So whether it's internal, external, just learn to be able to speak to people, because that will also help with your prospecting and your sales career. The more that you build relationships with maybe those developers that you're scared to reach out to, it's transferable skills. You might be scared to pick up the phone to reach out to someone that you don't know as well. So they go hand in hand. And then the final point is looking for a company with aligned values and the ethos that you like. I think you're going to thrive in an environment that's best suited to you. So I know it's probably hard as an SDR starting out, because you're just going to want to take anything that you can get. But even though you're early on in your career, you still deserve to have an environment that's going to help you grow to the highest potential that you have. So kind of try and pull back and weigh up those both options of if it's going to be the right choice for you or not. So yeah, those three things.
That's pretty solid, dude. And yeah, you're right. You deserve to be in an environment that helps you grow.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to go through iterations of different companies to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
And I can kind of like relate to that with my sales coach. Like Kevin Mark always says to me, like, Neil, you deserve to be here and you deserve to be a coach. Like, oh, that makes me feel so good. And it makes me happy in my work. And,
it makes you grow more. And
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. 100%. And are there any shout outs that you'd like to give on today's show, Maisie?
Yeah, I would like to. So my manager that I spoke about, who I actually interviewed, obviously, at the beginning of my Matillion, Ben Redfern, he has been just really supportive throughout my whole like sales career. And he is now my manager as well in my new role. So, yeah, it'll be great to see how I continue to grow with his guidance. Also, a shout out to you, Neil, because you've always been very supportive and helped me through a lot of things. And I know that we've been trying to tee up this podcast for a while. So I'm glad that it's finally happened.
Love it. And you're more than one. Thank you so much. That really makes me happy, dude. And a big thank you to our listeners, watchers, and subscribers for joining us on Maisie's chapter today on the SDR Disco Call Show. Again, Maisie's LinkedIn profile will be in the show notes. If you want to connect with her, pick her brain, or understand more things that we've discussed today, please feel free to reach out. And if you're listening into this or our local podcast platforms such as Apple, Spotify, Google, you name it, we're on it. Please make sure that you give us a rating and share. And if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, please make sure you like, comment, and subscribe down below. And any questions, add them to the comments and we'll make sure they get answered. But Maisie, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I'm really proud of you, dude. I'm wishing you a successful week and most importantly, happy selling, Maisie. Thank you for listening to the SDR Disco Call podcast today. We would like to get this message out to more and more sales development reps, so please like, comment, and share in your local podcast provider. If you don't want to miss a show, you can always send a blank email to SDRDiscoCall@bcast, which is bcast.email, and you'll be added to our mailing list. We're also on the lookout for new guests. So if you work in the world of sales development as an SDR, BDR, MDR, or ADR, and feel that you have an important message or story to share, feel free to email us at podcast@happyselling.io, and we'd love to have you on board.